because he got up from the dead, we can trust everything that he says. That brings us all the way up to our fifth objective. Jesus frees us from the vanity of sin. He frees us from the vanity of sin. The subtitle of tonight's message is Dead End Living. Dead End Living. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a type of living that is just a dead end. Jesus freed us from the vanity of sin. In other words, he freed us from dead end living. We have to understand that freedom from the bondage of sin means freedom from dead end living. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Sin produces nothing of value in our lives. It produces nothing of value in our lives. That's why a few weeks ago when we were in Romans 6, Paul asked this question. He said, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." In other words, Paul asked a question. What benefit did you get from the things that you are now ashamed of? What did you benefit from the sins that you committed? He goes on to say, you got no benefit, and the end of it all was death. So let me ask the question to you. What has sin done for you? I mean, what has it really done for you? How has it benefited your life? What has it produced of any lasting value? What good has it done for you and your family? What has sin done for you? Nothing. Because sin is an unfruitful work of darkness. There is no fruit in sin. The only thing that comes with sin is temporary pleasure. But then there's no benefit that comes with it. And then at the end of all of that is death. Jesus saved us from the vanity of sin. He saved us from dead end living. And what he did for us was remarkable. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 13. And we're going to read verse 13 through verse 17 at first. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." What are those first few verses saying? Peter is saying to the church, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, be alert. He's saying, wake up. Pay attention. It's almost like what Paul says to us in Romans. So he's saying, wake up, pay attention, be alert. And then he's saying, have hope. That is, have a confident expectation of the grace that you are going to receive when Jesus returns. Don't we already receive grace? Absolutely. But Peter makes it clear that the grace that we have now is just a taste of what is to come. That there is a greater grace to come when Jesus Christ returns. There's a kindness and a favor that we will experience that we have not yet experienced. So he's saying, wake up, pay attention to what's going on, and hope in the grace that you'll receive when Jesus comes back. And then he says, live as obedient children. In other words, don't give in to evil desires. Don't give in to the desires that used to govern you when you didn't know any better. See, there were things you did when you were ignorant. You did not know any better. But now that you know better, you have a new relationship with God. Live as obedient children. He goes on to say, and set yourself apart like your heavenly Father. The same way God is holy, you be holy. The same way God has set himself apart, you set yourself apart. And if you call upon God as your Father, in other words, if you are truly a Christian, pass your time here on earth with reverential fear, because God is impartial. In other words, he's going to judge everyone for what he has done, no exceptions. So if you are a Christian, have a reverential fear of God and obey him, knowing that he's going to judge all men. Peter goes on to explain why we should do all of this. Now, these are the key verses for tonight, verses 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter says something very significant here. But let's first break this scripture down and define what he's saying. That word redeemed. He says you were redeemed. What does that word mean? Redeemed means to be freed through the payment of a ransom. It means to be freed through the payment of a ransom. It means to be set free. It means to be set free. It also means to be rescued. To be rescued. That word redeemed was used to describe something specific that happened in the day that this scripture was written. To redeem someone is the price that was paid to purchase a slave's freedom. It was the price paid to purchase a slave's freedom. Redeemed, it means to be free through the payment of a ransom. To be set free, to rescue. It is the price paid to purchase a slave's freedom. So this scripture is letting us know that we were slaves who were set free. What were we set free from? Well, the scripture tells us. It says from our vain conversation. That word vain means to no purpose. It means profitless, useless, empty, fruitless, and aimless. It means to no purpose, profitless, useless, empty, fruitless, and aimless. Now that's a description. Amen. Conversation simply means lifestyle. So this scripture is telling us that we were freed from being in bondage to the useless, fruitless, aimless, and profitless lifestyle. But it was a lifestyle that we received by the tradition from our fathers. In other words, we were freed from a useless lifestyle, an aimless lifestyle, a fruitless lifestyle that was handed down to us. And we were freed not with silver and gold. In other words, money didn't rescue us, material didn't rescue us, but we were redeemed or ransomed. Our freedom was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ.
as a lamb without blemish and without spot. In other words, that scripture is saying he was like a sacrificial lamb. And he was without blemish or spot. He was without sin on the inside, and he was without sin on the outside. He was our sacrificial lamb. And because he shed his blood, he purchased us. He freed us from a fruitless, aimless, profitless lifestyle that had been handed down to us. Amen. See, we learn that we have evil tendencies within, and we have a tempter without. But to make matters worse, all of us were born into a tradition of sin. We were all born into a tradition of sin, and we were born into a life of vanity. Well, what do you mean by that? All of us were born into a family. We didn't ask to be born into the family that we were born in. We had no control over the family we were born in. And when we were born into that family, we were born into a way of life. We were born into a system of living, and it was fruitless, aimless, and profitless. Think about the family that you were born into. See, we were born into a way of thinking. All of us can look at our family and know that there's a way of thinking in our family. There's a way that the women think about men. There's a way that the men think about women. There are certain attitudes that dominate our family. There are certain points of views that dominate our family. We were born into that. And we were taught those attitudes, and we were taught those viewpoints. No matter how wrong they were, we were taught them from a small child. Amen. We were taught to think incorrectly as a small child. We were born into a way of thinking. We were born into a way of dealing and surviving. You know, all of us in our families, there's a certain way we survive. You know, there's a certain way we get over. There's a certain way we handle things when things get tight. And sometimes the way that we handle things is not very godly. It's not the way it should be, but we are taught those things from a small child. There is a way that we were born into. We were born into a certain type of behavior. And there is a behavior that predominates in our lives and in our families. And it goes from generation to generation. Amen. Amen. There's a behavior that we are born into. Yes. We're born into behaviors of abandonment, behaviors of abuse, behaviors of addiction, behaviors of incarceration, of manipulation, of brokenness. Generation after generation after generation of dead end living. And that's in our families. And all of us struggle with it. People in our families. And we see it year after year, hustling, struggling, suffering, dying. And the cycle just repeats itself over and over and over again. And at the end, nothing to show for it. We go and bury our relatives, yes. And it's the same drama. Yes. It's the same fighting. Same fighting over the same little pieces of china. Same fighting over the little things that are left. It is dead end living that we have been pulled into. And when you take all of this together, when you consider the fact that we had evil tendencies within, and you consider the fact that we have temptations without, but that we were brought up in a way of life that was dead in living, you can't get much more helpless than that. Because how do you come out of that type of life? How are you delivered from that type of living? It's a type of life that we were born into, and we felt like we couldn't escape. And many of us, as we were growing up, before we became adults, we said, I'm never going to be like my family. I'm never going to do what they do. I'm never going to act like they act. I'm going to get enough money together, and I'm going to have something. And my life is going to be different. But as we grew older, we found ourselves repeating the patterns that we said we would never repeat. And so we found ourselves doing the things that we said we could never do. We began to engage in the behaviors that we said we would never behave in. Why? Because the stress of life came on us. And when the stress of life came on us, all we could do is what